Okay. Today is the Thursday, huh? 27th July 2018, huh? So we are having our Thursday class at Sister Park Nursery and Brother Teo's and family's house. So let us prepare for puja, huh? Let us recall to mind, huh, all the spiritual faculties that we have developed. Sada, Virya, and mindfully we shall commence the puja. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Quan Sin Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, here, yeah, can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We will chant the bandana. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Usavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya japamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we are chanting the Patipa Puja, huh? Offering of light. Ganna sarapaditena dangsina loka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopena hang suganghina. Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajana muttamam vanna ganda gunopetam vetam kasuma santati pujayami munindasa siri pada sarorohe mi buddhang sumayena nena punnena cha cha hotu mokang bhupang milayati ta idang me kayo tatayati vinasabhavang adivasetu nobante paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatus uttamang adivasetu nobante ale parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang adivasetu nobante ojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patikan hatu mutamang.
Wind is too strong.
I just put it to number one or off it. Yeah. I think just off it. Yeah, off it is okay. Yeah. Yeah. We are facing me direct. Ah, okay, okay.
Yeah. Oh, 26. Ah, no, 27. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 26. Yeah. Plus 7, 26, yeah. The date is 26, yes. Thank you. So now we will chant the puja aspiration, based on our understanding of the puja chanting, the puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of all karma, so that we will diligently strive on with fullness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas of power. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we are off the light and you can.
have your half an hour of meditation. You all can pay respect to Triple Gem. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of the meditation. Then we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anotaro purisa dhamma sarati sat Ta deva manu sanang buddho bhagava Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehipasiko opanaiko Pachyatang veditabho vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savakka sangho Yatidang chatari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakeneyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Tripajam. Buddhang Pujami Dhammang Pujami Sanghang Pujami Okay, you all can be seated. Now we will continue with second session, where you all can report your meditation, and also followed by whatever question that you all may have. You can ask whatever question you want to, either regarding meditation or the teaching, and also how to understand the teaching so that you can apply them to help you understand life and resolve whatever life problem or situation that you may encounter. So this is the main aim of all Buddhist cultivation, to develop the wisdom or the understanding to understand life and to resolve whatever life issue, so that you are always at peace, you are always calm, free from all agitation, emotion or whatever, because that wisdom will free you. Okay, you just have to raise your hand, the mic is here. Anybody? If nobody, we follow Tuesday class, we go around one by one. Easier, otherwise everybody very shy. Yeah, pass to PJ, Yeah.
Pratyu, yeah. I realized, because somebody sent this WhatsApp to me, apparently tomorrow, 27th of July, is what they call Asaha Puja Day.
Oh, okay.
That will be the day that the Buddha expounded the Dhammacakka Pavattana.
Oh, okay.
So maybe can we talk about this subject?
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the good question. I really must honestly tell you the Pali word he used for that day, I also haven't heard before. But anyway, I think it's a full moon day, if I'm not wrong. Yeah? Entry of Vasa, beginning of Vasa. So they mark that day as the entry of Vasa. Vasa means the 3 months rain retreat, where all the monks, they're supposed to reside in one particular place. Then they're supposed to develop the cultivation there. So these are the rains retreat, because in India, during this period, the weather are not so good. It tend to have heavy rain everywhere. So for Theravada monk or Buddhist monk at that time under the Buddha's training, you're supposed to go for Pindapata, means alms round, to receive your food. Then you're supposed to spread the teaching, develop the synergy between the laities and the cultivator. So as a cultivator, the monk at that time, they are supposed to develop the cultivation so that they are worthy of offering respect, hospitality, and shelter or whatever, the 4 requisites, so that they are worthy of all this, whatever food that people offer to you. And through this offering, because they are virtuous, the offerer, the lay people or the lay community, they get to reap the wholesomeness, the merits and all those things. So this synergy of the laity supporting the monastic, and the monastic in return support the laity through all this merits or wholesomeness. Then they also get to learn the Dhamma, the teaching. And by doing so, they also develop merits. They straighten their view. They develop understanding to live life. Then they get to change their life, improve their life through all this teaching. Then they get to perform almost all the 10 meritorious actions if you were to support the monastic or the monks community. And this was the reason why he introduced Vasa, rain's retreat. So during rainy season, when the weather are not so conducive, the Buddha say, it's good that the monk decide where you want to take your Vasa. And the moment you enter Vasa, there are rules that the monk has to observe. It seems there are quite a number of rules. You cannot leave the place for more than how many days, I don't know. Then, no matter what happens, you have to come back. Otherwise, you break the rule to qualify to be a member of the Sangha. After the 3 months range retreat, they're supposed to hold either a katina, if you have more than 5 monks. If it's less than 5, they can hold a minor one, they call papa. So these are the rules. Then on this full moon day, that's how you realize they always associate most of the holy days to the new moon and the full moon, where it seems these are the period where the moon, the gravity of the moon, they have an effect on our planet. That's why your sea water, our ocean, even under what they call our civil engineering degree, we study this, we call it the almanac, where we can predict the ocean wave and level. Then there is also a lot of this full moon high tide. Then the new moon, different type of phenomena happening. So these are nature's phenomena, physical law of nature, that gravitational pull has an effect on the movement of nature's energy and chi. Then our form and mind are also influenced. So if you don't have the mind training, you can be influenced. You can be affected. So sometimes when there is this, what they call disruption to nature's chi flow and all those things, it can cause a lot of disruption that will bring about certain effect on people's mind. Just at a certain time, you will come to realize the human consciousness is being affected. Only those who have trained their mind, then they can remain calm, peaceful, and they are aware, they are sensitive, they know something is happening. Like before a phenomena, it could be a severe tsunami or earthquake or whatever. The animals are very sensitive. And you know, how can they know? Because it comes through the vibration of nature. Sometimes the vibration, the pitch are so high, you cannot perceive them. But the animals can perceive them. So during a tectonic plate movement where tsunami is about to happen, this movement, the energy already released. And they all, through their ability to detect them, is part of their instinct. That's why sometimes for no reason you can see all the signs, like in the forest. The animals, a lot of this thing, they panic. Even in the sea, the ocean, sometimes you see a lot of fish, run towards the shore. And a lot of dead fish and all those things. Because they receive this type of sign and signal. And normally you see this, you better be careful. Because it means the tsunami is coming or something is coming. So what I try to relate to you is, these are the days where people who have the spiritual understanding, they will know how to choose the day. That's why you have your auspicious day of the great beings. They call it their birthday or whatever, or their enlightenment day, like our Vesak and all those things. Then it also marks the Parinibbana of great beings, like Sakyamuni. So the birth, the enlightenment, and the Parinibbana. So all these are part and parcel of this physical law of nature together with the Dhamma Niyama, nature's occurrences, or what they call the truth of Dhamma. So there are five universal order that affect our universe. They call it the Pancha Niyamas. The first one is Uttu Niyama, physical law of nature. Then we have the Bija Niyama, biological order, or what they call the order of organic thing. Apart from organic, it's also all sorts of life form. It can be plants, animal, or whatever that is organic in nature. It can be plant or whatever, even fishes and other things. So these two are nature's physical law and biological law, which the scientists has developed a lot of understanding. So that's why we call them the scientific law, and these are non-spiritual. Whereas the other three are spiritual law of nature. The most powerful one is law of karma, karma niyama, the great order of this law, which we are studying under our Tuesday class. Then we have this chitta niyama, order of mind, how mind function. That's why all the psychic thing, the consciousness thing, mental phenomena and all those things, they fall under this law, order of mind. Then the last one is all the other remaining truth, which the Buddha called Dhamma, the order of Dhamma. Whatever truth that are not covered by the four is under this law. And all the truth that the Buddha teach, the essential Dhamma that he teach, they are under this law. And we call it Dhamma Niyama, the order of Dhamma. So these five, they all interact and interact. That's the reason why it's very difficult to understand truth. It's very difficult to understand life, because it involves the interaction of all beings within this universe, which are subject to this five nature's order. And you have to understand all the five. Especially the three spiritual law. The working of it. How the law of karma function. And how form and mind are subject to this law. Then the various type of possibility and all those things. Then when it comes to mind, chitta niyama is more complex, more complicated. We are dealing with not only the thought process, the consciousness and its content. We even have to deal with the supra-mundane consciousness, the pure consciousness, then the unconditioned. So all this, they have a role, an impact on this universe of ours. Then we need to understand the last spiritual law, Dhamma Niyama. the essential Dhamma. That's why you need to understand truth. You need to awaken to it, to develop the wisdom, the enlightenment. Then only you can understand and free your mind. Then only you can be part of the overall. Means you understand who are you, what are you, what is this form and mind, what is that nature, and how they are subject to all these laws. Then through this understanding of the condition and the unconditioned, you are no longer deluded. This is what the Dhamma is. It's very comprehensive, very complete. Yeah. Then coming back to the question by PJ, it seems this is the day, according to PJ, it also coincides with the day the Buddha spoke the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the first sermon. Then according to Padmasri, I think it's correct. The first day of Vasa. Then when that day is already fixed, means all those who follow that tradition, they're supposed to abide by it and then observe it. Then during this time, the monk will not travel, will not go and teach like the other 9 months out of the Vasa period, the rains retreat. So that is the basis. Yeah. Then regarding this Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, we have already gone through many times. In fact, this is the first sermon that the Buddha delivered immediately after his enlightenment, so that the 5 ascetic, they can understand the profound teaching. And when he delivered this sermon, before he complete one of the 5, and Kondanya, he became a Sotapan. He realized the Sotapanna path. That's why the Buddha say, Kondanya has realized the truth. The eye of wisdom has already been shown. So all this is what this teaching is all about. But the more important aspect of the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta is the Buddha wants to do away with all the wrong view, the wrong practices that the yogi at that time in India went through and made the mistake. That's why for 6 years he followed those teachers, especially his 2 teachers, Alara and Udaka, who taught him all the concentration object of meditation, where they developed jhana. The first teacher, I think, taught him until the 7th jhana. The last teacher taught him until the 8th jhana. But then, when he was able to do it, then he was able to do it until, I think, he was at par with the teacher. And the teacher said they want to invite him to teach on par as them. But he told them no, because what he is searching for is not just this jhana. This jhana are very high, what they call tranquility or stillness mind state. The first 4 jhana are the form jhana, where they have the 5 jhanic factor: vitaka, vichara, is applied thought followed by sustained thought. I have taught you all before. Then after that, they will realize piti. Piti is an enlightenment factor, and that is the only enlightenment factor. Then after that, they experience sukhang, the blissfulness of mind. Piti is just a type of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy. Or some call it the spiritual rupture, when you experience it for the first time, you feel so good. It's like your mind rupture into joy. There's this joy. Then you know how to continue to relax into it, develop the mindfulness until it becomes more refined. Then the mind becomes very blissful, very blissful, yeah, very blissful. Yeah. Then after that, the mind enter one-pointedness. They call it ekagata. Once they enter one-pointedness, the mind like doesn't move, still. Yeah. That's how they build up the energy. When it's one-pointedness, energy got no way to escape. It start to build up. That's why they push it up and develop all the jhana. Then they use it for psychic and all those things. That is the training of the Hindu tradition, the yogi at that time. And some of them have wrong view, the Buddha said. They believe in self-mortification. They believe in mortifying their physical body. They think by doing that, they will remove all the karmic suffering. Means they endure. They want to reduce their karmic suffering. Then by torturing themselves through self-mortification, they think they can purify this body. When you have less karma, means after you take all the suffering, they believe they will have less, or finally the suffering no more. Then they can become holy, enlightened, and all those things. But the Buddha knew this is not the way, but he tried. He tried until the most austere way. He couldn't. Then when he was a prince in the palace, he was having the good life. That's why he also knew the sensual indulgence in the senses cannot bring about enlightenment, cannot bring about the quality of mind that can understand things, develop the wisdom and the insight. That's the reason why after he experienced all this, then he gave up. He don't want to follow the two teachers anymore. He went on his own. Then he recalled when he was very young. He was still a child. During a harvesting festival, yeah. Then it seemed he was sitting underneath an apple tree. It's also an apple tree. But he is not like Newton. The apple didn't fall on his head. Newton discovered gravity where apple fall on his head. But when he was observing the harvesting festival, he was sitting in meditation. And that time he was not in concentration. His mind was calm, peaceful. Then there was this joy inside there. He was in excess concentration. He was not in apana samadhi or absorption concentration. He was at the threshold before he enters apana samadhi. So what happened was, during that time, he realized there was clarity. He can see, he can think, he can understand. There was joy, there was clarity. Then he was healthy that time, he has food. But as a baby or a child, he didn't have much craving, he didn't torture his body. So when he recalled that incident, he decided to return to eat. And when he did that, the five ascetic thought he has given up the struggle. So they left him. Yeah. Then he was on his own, cultivating, receiving whatever alms. Then the final one is the milk rice from Sujata. Then he saw the sign, he knew he will be enlightened, because after he finished the milk rice, he made a very firm aspiration. Then he said, if he is destined, as predicted by all the wise men, to be the Samasambuddha, show him the sign. So it seems it true that the no where the bowl one, the empty one, after he has eaten into the river. And instead of going downstream, normally it follow the flow. This bowl went upstream, and he knew he is destined. That's why he make the aspiration after that. He said he will not arise from that seat, not until he become fully enlightened. Even at the expense of death, the skin, everything may dry up. He will not arise from the seat unless he has become enlightened. And his parami was such, everything fall into place. So that night, he awakened. That was the day he became enlightened. That's why we celebrate Vesak. So the significance of that sutta is about his discovery, his understanding. Then what makes him leave the palace in search for truth was the four sign. When he saw the four sign because of his past, he straight away connect back to his past cultivation. He straight away, after he knew what these four signs are, when the attendant relates to him, he said, all humanity will have to confront this reality. Of course, birth, he haven't really seen. What he saw was a sick man, an old man, a dead man, and a holy samana, a monk, a cultivator. So when he saw the first three signs, when he knew that each and every living being, including himself, at that time he was still very young, very healthy, youthful, very strong. Finally, this physical body has to go the way of nature, grow old, become so haggard, so weak, full of disease, then ultimately die. And he knew all those happiness that he received from his father, they are no longer important, because the reality is he has a problem. When the body grow old, get sick and die, he cannot do anything. He cannot overcome them. So he left the palace in search for truth to develop the understanding to overcome all his sickness and death. And he went all over. He did all sorts of meditation. That's why all the psychic ability, the jhana, everything that give rise to a lot of calmness, energy, stillness, energy, tranquility and all those things. But conditioned state and the mind is held together by energy, concentration, one-pointedness. And the other possible one is absorption, continuous mindfulness. Then you absorb the mind into it until there is no thought, until the energy is so strong it builds up. Of course, during that time, you like in that state, you feel very good, especially when you get to experience the piti sukhang, this mental bliss, the mental peacefulness, calmness, tranquility, and stillness, and the ability to do all those psychic phenomena. Then like the two teachers, they know after they die, they will take birth up there in the formless rite and they live very long. So to them, that is salvation. You know what is salvation? Huh? That is the final goal they are interested in. But the Buddha said no. This is not the final goal, because he knew finally you have to fall back. When your good karma is used up, you will fall back and you may become human being again, then finally go down to hell. Escape from birth and death is not possible. So what he is looking for is to develop a realization that can help him transform birth and death. Transcend birth and death, old age, sickness and death. As long as there is no birth, there is no death. As long as there is no birth, there is no old age, sickness. So all this will be realized. So immediately after his enlightenment, he came to realize one very important understanding. He realized where he inherited all his past cultivation, spiritual perfection and nature. Then he realized this form and mind is a vehicle and a tool for him to come, karmically conditional. That's why he called this physical body the functional body, Nimanakaya, that performed the function of a Buddha at that time. Then they got a spiritual nature, Samugayakaya. When they come during the night of enlightenment, these two combine and transform it into a Dhammakaya, the third body of the Buddha. Dhammakaya means the Dhamma body that can teach and preach the Dhamma. That's how he became a Sammasambuddha. And this is how it happened. Then when it happened, he realized his problem is no more there. Because that nature is different, has got nothing to do with the form and mind. Form and mind is impermanent, condition arising, dependent originating, karmically conditioned out as a vehicle and a tool for him to come to perform the function of the Buddha. And the nature's law of karma have an influence on this form and mind. That's why the form and mind is subject to karma. That's why he can tell you, we are all born, our form and mind are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So this is a very profound truth. Then when he realized this, he got no more problem. Because this body and mind is not him. That's why this one can grow old, get sick and die. In reality, nothing die. No one born, no one sick, no one old. This is just understanding that this is not you. Then you don't have to worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. No more such illusion. Then you have a duty because you have your vows. You have your understanding and perfection so that you can be a blessing to all. So that you can do the thing that you're supposed to do through your vows, affinity and all those things. So that was what he realized. Then immediately after that, he got no more problem with the three signs that he saw. Then the fourth sign is the Samana, the holy monk. So he realized by renouncing the world, putting on the robe, then going into solitude to cultivate, to find the answer to truth, to life, was the only way to avoid the two extremes of sensual indulgence and self-mortification. That's why he called this the middle way, the middle path. And in the middle path or the middle way is also called the Noble Eightfold Path. So the first understanding or aspect of the middle way is like what he discovered. If you want to cultivate, you have to avoid the two extremes. You cannot indulge in sensual indulgence. You cannot go the other extreme of self-mortification. This will not bring you result. You will not benefit from this type of practice. It will bind you. This is wrong view, delusion. That's why that statement is very important. Avoid the two extremes, then cultivate. So if you don't indulge in the senses, if you don't torture yourself, torment yourself, means you are following the middle path. But please don't get it wrong. A lot of people, out of convenience, they want to justify their action. You know what they tell you. The Buddha say middle path. Avoid the two extreme. I don't smoke too much. I don't smoke too little. I go in between middle path. I drink also. I don't drink too much. I don't drink too little. I take the middle. That is not the way. That is delusion. Middle way has two meanings. When he say avoid the two extremes, complete avoidance. Understand? No indulgence in all those things. Let's say drug, intoxicant, or cannot. Then some of them will go and justify again. I didn't indulge her until like the fifth precept. He said social drinking or I need to entertain my friend sometimes we are among classmates or our staff and our dinner and all those things. We need to have some social activity, social drinking. There are some people say, why only you are? If you have the understanding when you are heedful, then it's very beautiful. You will know how to act. But if you can, you should avoid all this. Unless there are reasons, then you can, like, don't go and quote me, otherwise I get myself into trouble, you also get into trouble. Say, brother, do you say can or take a little bit? What I try to explain to you is there is such a condition. So sometimes because of condition, like let's say some people they marry to a lady or their spouse who may not be a true Buddhist. Or very staunch Buddhist, or cultivator. So what you expect? On anniversary also don't want to have wine. They go for a good dinner, fine dining, no wine. I tell you, you create unnecessary misunderstanding. Even if he order and he pour full, you just say thank you, thank you. I don't take because it affects my consciousness. But don't worry, tonight special, I will have a sip. Then you find out how it feels. As long as you are sober, you are not intoxicated by it. There is no sensual indulgence because you don't really like it. That's why you don't indulge in it, and you don't really hate it too, because you find out. If it's something that doesn't suit your taste, then why do you want to drink it? But if some of the wine are very nice, after you taste, you feel good, you have to be mindful, understand? As long as the alcohol starts to affect your consciousness, you are still not mindful, then you will start to have frivolous talk already. I tell you, sweet nothing. Ah, this is nice. First time I'm having this. What wine is this? Then they tell you how many years on, specially imported from where and how much they paid for it. I mean, some people, they would like to, to them is have good life, enjoy good food. That's why I say sometimes if you have the means, you can pamper yourself a bit, but don't get carried away. Don't go to the extent until you violate the precepts. Your precept is a training rule. That's why we went through last week. I undertake the training rule to abstain. Have I done it? If I have done it with understanding, no problem. Nobody can force you. But if the occasion warrants it, then you have to make that choice. It's not for you anymore. It's for the good of the many, not to cause misunderstanding and all those things. That's why don't try to be like very, what they call, super religious. Then you get angry when people pour wine for you or pour beer and liquor for you. You don't know I Buddhist, I give 8 precepts, I'm not supposed to take dinner, and today I give up 8 precepts just for your dinner. You go and talk like that, I tell you, people look at you. What type of spiritual cultivator are you? You don't have the refined right speech and the center, the gentleness of speech, pleasantness of speech. You don't know how to attend to situation. You don't know how to bring about harmony. You don't know how to conduct yourself following Noble Eightfold Path. So all this is part and parcel of the teaching. So the first aspect of middle way is avoid the two extremes. And this one, when you are heedful, when you are mindful, no problem. You can conduct it. That's why I told you, as an engineer, I was able to avoid all these things. Of course, the first few months was not easy until I had the condition. I tried, but I don't find it interesting or nice. I don't like the taste. Then finally, you know what they did? No? They say, oh, la, then, okay, la, I order a 7-Up. That 7-Up mixed with the liquor, oh, the taste is very nice. Oh. I still remember. Then I said, this one, okay, this one I can drink. Because it's just like our chemistry. Yeah? How many of you are science student? Huh? Nobody? Yeah? Or you're a science student? You know what is ester or not? Organic chemistry. When you add alcohol to that acid, it becomes ester. No? The flavor is very nice one. Oh. Not only sweet, it's really ester. Hyung. And when you drink, it a bit of sweet, but that taste is very nice. So at that time, I remember I said like that, okay. So every time I put ice, I put the 7-Up. Then they saw me keep on putting 7-Up. Then they know I don't want to add the alcohol. Then sometimes they go and add without me knowing it. Then I saw the color, I know already. Then after I drink, I knew already it's going to make me groggy up there. So what happened was, the first time I think, I almost vomited. I didn't vomit. I almost vomited. But I felt so, like, I don't like the effect. The hangover and all those things. Maybe not as severe as Christina. Christina on, like Joy last night, how they come back also didn't know. And they vomit maybe at the place they drink and all those things. But I was still sober and can still drive home. But what happened when I reached home, I felt very like, I don't like that feeling. That's why after that, somehow a very good karma. Then I went for honeymoon with my wife and another classmate. We all one couple with my sister-in-law. We were in Lake Toba, the cheapest honeymoon, $365 honeymoon per person. And you know what happened? The night before I flew off the next day, I kena food poisoning in Penang. I take the Juhu Eng Chai. I think they didn't clean it properly. You know, they put under the sota, let the sotong, what fat like balut up. Then they supposed to clean it one. I think not well clean. So after that, the next morning, I went and see doctor in Penang Adventist Hospital. I remember where my father liked the hospital. The hospital saved my father's life also. So I went, and the doctor was so confident. I thought I cannot go already. By the time the doctor see me already 10 something, I say I got a flight at about 12, honeymoon. He said, so what? I give you some medication, you go. So I say, oh, can I? Yeah, can. So I went. I tell you, that few days there, because that time I meditate a bit already, I can feel, you know, very eerie, you know. It's not severe pain, it's not severe sickness, but that type of uncomfortableness are eerie, you know, associated with death. Actually, I can die on that time. I kena chi mo tang, later on only I know. Well, I recover a few months later. I came back, I was in Indonesia, I think visited two doctors. No? I tell you, that type of doctor, you dare not take their medicine. They don't have clinic or no. You know where the doctor is? In one of the classroom. One of the classroom. No student there. He got one student table there. No nurse, nothing. No. And then my turn. Then I look at him. You are a doctor. Yeah. Then he asked me what happened. Then I told him, I don't feel good. Then he used the stethoscope. He checked. Then after that, okay, I give you some medication. You take and you see how, if it's better, you continue to take. Otherwise, you come back again. I saw he opened up that drawer. Student table, you know. How much medicine he has inside there? I tell you, that was the state of affairs, you know, and that was 1979. You know. And it was so bad. Then after that, I said, this doctor no need to take the medicine. Insist on another one. Then the tour guide took me another one, slightly better. Also cannot. Also don't have nurse, but a more proper place. Then after that, I endure until the 5 days up. I pity my wife because my wife didn't get to enjoy. She has to accompany me. Then when I came back, I drove back from Penang. That time I was quite, actually still sick. That thing was still, the eerie thing was still there. So I straight away admit Alostar Hospital because I got 3 classmate doctor there. They also houseman just came out not long. The moment I drive into the hospital, the 3 of them, somehow one of them saw me, then the other 2 also came and visited me and said, what happened? So I told them, oh, don't worry, we will diagnose you. So they thought it's urinary tract infection. No. Check, nothing. Then they do x-ray. They thought stone, no. Also nothing. Then they put me on antibiotic. No. On the 4th day, it's supposed to be a 5-day course. On the 4th day, still no sign of subsiding. Then one of my classmates came and told me, we don't know what to do with you. If by tomorrow you still don't clear, we also don't know what to do with you. Then somehow, I was lucky. You know. On the 5th day, somehow, that thing subside. You know. Subside. But I feel very weak. I feel very weak. I knew. And my father was worried because I had to drive back from Alostar to PJ. So what he did was he made this pausam for me. Oh, the pausam was very good. Keep me awake. Then my brother and my father were so worried about me. He sent one of his reliable friend, my brother's very close friend, to accompany me. If he see me like cannot drive or sleepy or whatever, he will take over already. He will not let me drive. But somehow I reached PJ without having to really let him drive. Then when I was in PJ for 3 months, I was very weak. Then somehow good karma. My father-in-law took me to see somebody. And he just used the duck feather. Was a duck feather. He just cleaned me out, no, with me. Chi mo tang. Chi mo tan. Very hitty. But I don't feel hitty. You know. I don't feel hitty. No, I think it's a typhoid. Typhoid. Chi mo tang. Typhoid. It's not chut tan. No. It's not tan. It's typhoid. A lot of people die on admitted to hospital. They diagnose, they cannot find the reason. No, actually, it's typhoid. Then they die. I supposed to die. But somehow didn't die. And after that one, you know what happened that night I sleep? Middle of the night I wake up. My whole heart here, the chest here, that scale, big piece or no, is thicker than the big fish scale. Whole heart here, block. Like. It just come out like that. I should have kept that one. Then I woke up, I went to the toilet, I thought, what was it? Heart. Yeah. Then I saw the scale, and I started to pull them out. Then I go and flush it out. Stupid, I should have kept it. At least got 8 pieces, I remember. And after that, I completely recovered. Then later on, when I know how to meditate, I met one of my teachers. Then I relate this to her. Then this one got divine ability, one can check one. He checked. Then you know what he told me. He said, you are very lucky. Your nature very strong. You're not supposed to die. Is it? You know what happened, is it? Your nature actually remove all this for you. That's why he come out here. And that's how I recovered. That was the first confrontation with that. And I knew Kuan Yin helped me. Otherwise I would have died. Yeah. Then the second time was the river, 8 years old, with the basketball. Yeah. Oh, sorry, the basketball one first. Yeah, the river one, 8 years old. Then right after I graduated, I think the first year, I had that second one. Then in between, protected. This form of mind very well protected. Yeah. Otherwise, a lot of things would have happened. Yeah. That's why you need to seek their guidance, protection, and blessing. Otherwise, cannot. That nature no need protection. But the form and mind need protection. This is subject to karma. This one very fragile. Can go the way of nature very easily. And a lot of things can happen. Accident and all those things. Yeah. So we need to understand all this. So what happened was, all this I went through, I developed the understanding. That's why because of that I get admitted. Then I come out. After that, that day onward, until now, I never forced to drink, or people cannot ask me to drink anymore. I say doctor's advice. Well, after that, all the contractor, engineer, supplier all very good to me. Okay, take care of your health. You're so young, you admitted. Yeah, I was not well and I got medical leave. I was almost whole week not in the office. Then after that, everybody treat me very well. He said, Mr. Teo, Chinese tea, Shi Cha. They know what I mean. So because of that good karma, I no need to get myself involved in all this entertainment thing and all that. That's how you take care of karma. All this will be taken care of. So that is the first aspect of avoiding the two extremes. Avoid self sensual indulgence and self-mortification. The second one is Noble Eightfold Path, the second aspect. The Buddha said, this is the meditation under the fourth Noble Truth. He said, you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Means the enlightenment in the here and the now. And what happened after you cultivate Noble Eightfold Path? You become enlightened, isn't it? Otherwise, how can you be free from suffering? And after you become enlightened, you know how duality come about, isn't it? That's how you can transcend duality. And that is the deeper meaning of middle path. Middle path means transcending duality. All duality cannot affect you anymore. Where these are duality within the mundane or created by the mundane mind, you are no longer deluded by it. These are relative truth. These are not ultimate truth. The realization will allow you to transcend duality, transcend all of this delusion, ignorance and all this thing. That's why this second aspect of the middle power is very important. Then his whole of this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta after that, he straight away begin the teaching by expounding the Four Noble Truths. And he said, this Four Noble Truths, you have to understand it this way. Because he himself as a Sammasambuddha, he also realized he went through this way to develop the understanding. He said, you have to cultivate this Four Noble Truths in its three turning. Because there are four truths, three turning, four times three, there are 12 modes. Yeah. Even he himself have to do that, is it? Otherwise, he cannot proclaim to be the Sammasambuddha, the fully enlightened one. And this is in the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. That's why he said, after he has understood the Four Noble Truths in his three turning, there was this light in him, clarity, awakening in him, that he has never realized before. Truth that he has never realized before starts to dawn upon him, and he starts to understand the First Noble Truth, the reality of life and existence. Means everything is just the way it is. That's why he come out with this statement. After that, he teach the monk, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to cease, because they follow this nature's law. And whatever that arise, there are causes and conditions behind. And like Asaji said, these causes and conditions my teacher has taught, basically is karma. Well, the Buddha told the five ascetics, you are all the form and mind, born of karma, heir to karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So your entire life is dependent on karma, nothing else. So if you don't take care of karma, you cannot take care of life. That's why he make it very clear. Yeah. So this First Noble Truth reality is for you to understand that we are within the existential world, conditioned arising world, dependent originating world. Everything function following nature's law, dependent originating. Scientific law, physical, biological, also dependent originating. Law of karma, also moral causation, dependent originating. Cause and effect. Law of the mind, following the 12 link, also paticca-samuppada, dependent originating. Then law of truth, also follow nature's law. Yeah. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. Cannot be otherwise. That's why he said, learn to see things as they are. Jnana dasana, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, see things as they are. Not according to your views, opinion and conditioning. That is wrong view. When you see things as they are, independent of your memory, your conditioning, your views and opinion, then you see truth, you see the reality. No words, no concept, nothing. You see things as they are. Then you realize everything is just the way it is. Conditioned like that, things will be like that, cannot be otherwise. That's why you need to have that clarity, to insight into phenomena, to see the universal characteristic. Then you realize everything is impermanent, like the Buddha said. Sabbe sankhara anicchang. All sankhara lead to suffering. Sabbe sankhara dukkhang. That all of Dhamma that exists, whether physical, mental or nature's phenomena, they are impermanent. Because of that, there is not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to and say, this is me, this is mine, this is I, therefore all these are mine. That's why there is no real, permanent, unchanging entity that you can say, this is me, means a self. Atta. So those are the wisdom that he realized. Then he came to understand perfectly that this whole of existence, the conditioned world, they have their own reality. And he summarized them as the First Noble Truth, the eight type of reality, the eight condition that living being who live long enough have to confront. And when you confront them, without the Dhamma, the wisdom that he has taught, the teaching, you will suffer. That is the meaning of the First Noble Truth. It doesn't say life is suffering. He just said there is a noble truth that explains what suffering is. He said suffering is everywhere, prevalence of suffering. When you confront this reality without wisdom, and all this suffering that arise because of his enlightenment, he knew. He said there is a cause behind. And the cause is none other than your craving, born of self-delusion. You think you exist. That's why you cling, you hold. That's why in the final summary of the First Noble Truth, he said, in short, it is your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling and hold on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. See? That's why finally you have to understand who you are, what you are, and why the Buddha said this is the five aggregate of form and mind, and this is impermanent, subject to karma. When you attach, cling, one thing's your way, which is not nature's way, you deliberately believe this is you, then you suffer. Suffering will be the end result. And because it's impermanent, therefore it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it's non-self, empty, no reality. That's how the Buddha free, transcend old age, sickness and death. No more problem. You also can do it when you have that insight, that understanding. You have the insight into the three universal characteristics. Then all this becomes very clear. Then when you understand the First Noble Truth, the Noble Truth of Dukkha, then you understand the cause of arising of Dukkha, then you can manage your life better. If you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you still don't know how to come out of it. Then something is wrong with you, understand not? If I know this is suffering, I will not touch it. I will not allow it to continue. Then when I also know the cause behind is self-delusion and attachment, craving, clinging, then why did I hold? Why did I still deludedly believe this wrong view? That's why you will be free. You can come out of it. Then he said, there is a noble truth, the third noble truth, that tells you suffering need not be. If you have this understanding, enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Cessation of form and mind, nibbana, can be realized in the here and the now. Then you become completely different. Then you realize not only there is hope. The Buddha says suffering need not be. I can decide my life. If I choose to be happy, I will be happy. I will not be afflicted. I only need the understanding, the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment, like what the Buddha teaches. Everything is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. Condition like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Then when you can have this type of right view, wisdom to accept them for what they are, your mind is always beautiful, free. Then you can be at peace anywhere, any place, anytime. No need to worry about life anymore. And basically this is what the teaching is. And how can you realize the enlightenment spoken by the Buddha under the third noble truth? How can you realize that? Huh? What must you do? You have to cultivate the because that is the path that leads to the enlightenment, the end of all suffering. That's why I teach you meditation. What do I teach you? Train your mind to be heedful, ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path is heedfulness. That's why the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment, and that is what the teaching is all about, and that is what Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta is all about. Can you understand? So don't go and be gullible and run here, run there, this method, that technique, do all these funny things. The key thing is heedfulness. Have you trained your mind to be mindful? Have you stabilized it to be ever mindful? Have you used it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. But this is the only way to enlightenment, the Noble Eightfold Path. And within the Noble Eightfold Path is the four foundation of mindfulness. And the last cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness is the mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why the whole thing is connected. And when you understand the Dhamma is very simple, then cultivation will be very direct. You won't deviate. You won't go and do things like all those so-called meditators or yogi doing all the thought-based meditation. You won't. And you know how to take care of life. You know what this form of mind is. And you are heedful, like last week we went through. You will train your mind to be ever mindful, to understand what constitutes evil. And you undertake the training rules to abstain from doing all those negative things that leads to violation of precept. And who violate precept? People with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So when you have the understanding of what constitutes evil, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, then you can be mindful of them, then you will not break the precept. Means you can keep the precept. And precept is the source of what? Silena sukanti yanti, source of what? Happiness, sukanti yanti. Silena boga sambadan, spiritual wealth. Because when you have this precept, means you are connected to the cultivation, the spiritual training. Well, it is a meritorious action, and you have to renew your precept at temple, in front of altar, as a cultivator, through the understanding of the law of karma. Then the last one is silena nibunting yanti. Precept is the source of peacefulness of mind, tranquility and stillness of mind. So when you start to keep your precept, you not only avoid evil, you receive these three great benefits. So precept is the source of spiritual happiness, very important, and spiritual wealth. Then you can invoke power of merits for spiritual success, spiritual accomplishment, and all those things. That is the source of peacefulness of mind, because when you don't violate the precept, what happened? What happened to you when you don't break the precept? You got so much less problem. True or not? You don't kill people, less problem. You don't harm people and make people miserable, nobody will come after you. You don't steal, don't cheat, don't deceive, the police also won't come after you. Your company also won't take disciplinary action against you. So a lot of things you don't have anymore. That if you are not sleepy, you will be very diligent. You will have virya to motivate you and drive you on. Then when your mind is trained, there is no more restlessness. Understand? So all this, you will come to understand. Because when you have no problem, you don't fear, you don't worry, because you didn't break the precept. Understand? You don't partake intoxicant, you won't make mistake. You don't lie. You don't arise the four type of wrong speech. You don't encounter problem in life. So because of that, you have more peace, more calmness. Less problem means less worry, less anxiety, less fear. That's why you can be peaceful. Understand? That's why when you keep your precept, it's a source of peacefulness of mind. Straight away. If you don't keep your precept, I tell you, you don't have a peaceful mind to meditate. Because while you meditate, you worry. Oh, you're that guy. What happens if you come to know? Sometimes you don't cheat on others, you cheat on your own spouse. I tell you, you also worry. What if my spouse come to know what I did? Understand? That fear. So a lot of things, when you have the understanding, then you see the beauty in everything the Buddha teach you. Even keeping precept can bring about so much benefits. Source of joy. You know what is joy or not? When you know you have kept your precept by avoiding all evil, you already start to improve your life. You already start to purify your karma. You have less condition for all this negative karma to fruit because you already avoid all evil. Only the whatever that is from the past. New one, no more. That's why precept is very beautiful. That is source of spiritual calmness, spiritual joy, spiritual wealth. Where you feel good, joy, when you keep your precept. You feel that you not only protect others, you protect yourself. By not harming people, by not killing people, by not cheating, deceiving, lying, by not committing sexual misconduct or those things. You develop virtue. You avoid harming people and harming yourself through your negative action, speech and thought process, karma. So this is how you understand the cultivation, and it becomes so beautiful that every aspect of the cultivation, the Noble Eightfold Path, becomes so meaningful. From precept, everything come about. Because precept come from the first right view with regards to the law of karma. That's why the Buddha knew. If you are all born of your karma, heir to your karma condition, supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of karma, you have to take care of karma, understand? Your entire life depends on karma. So how to take care of karma? The advice of the Buddha, avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. That's why it is sabba papasa akaranang, kusalesa upasambadan, sacitta pariyotapanang, etang bunana sasana. This is the advice of all Buddha. Yeah. All evil, you have to avoid. Sabba papasa evil. Akaranam. Then, whatever wholesomeness, kusalesa upasambada, you have to cultivate. Then you have to purify your mind. Sacitta pariyodhapanam. Etang buddhana sasana. Means this is the advice of all Buddha. So this is how precept comes about. To avoid all evil, you have to keep your precept. To keep your precept, you must train your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, to be able to abstain. To undertake the training rule to abstain from all these things. So that you are mindful of whatever mental intention behind your action, thought and speech. The three door where you can arise karma with the mental intention. So this is how that teaching becomes so beautiful. So from right view, law of karma alone, so much teaching come out. Then purification of mind involves cultivation, Noble Eightfold Path, Four Foundation, mindfulness, everything. Then when it comes to the second right view, spiritual law, citta niyama, that's how you develop mindfulness to see the dependent origination link, the 12 link, the paticca samuppada. Then you can verify the Buddha's teaching. Is it really true according to the Buddha? Upon contact, feeling arise. Is it only feeling? What about other things? That's why when you go into the meditation, it's multi-dimensional. No, it's not single dimensional. It's not what you think. It's not what the book say. Yeah, the book can never describe the whole thing. It can only tell you in single-dimensional explanation. Just the Buddha need to explain things, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. But what actually happened is, simultaneously, the whole mind is moving so fast. That's why it's multi-dimensional. Upon contact, not only feeling, the whole of the content of consciousness went in. And within the content of consciousness, the seven universes are there, simultaneously there. Upon contact, that consciousness also arises, understand? That's why the first link, avijja, ignorant contact, depending on ignorant contact, what happens?
avijja paccaya sankhara. What is sankhara? Mental activity. That's why your mind starts to stir, start to think, start to create activity. And when you do that, you make contact with the mind. Then sankhara paccaya viññāṇa, mental consciousness, come out already. And when you input the content, it becomes namarūpaṁ, the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what happened. And the seven universal inside interact already. And you see all this inside the meditation. And this is no more theory. This is realization. Then all the essential Dhamma under Dhamma Nupassana, you will understand. Because when you are serious about the cultivation, through your meditation, you will understand the Pali word. I tell you, the Anicca, Dukkha, Anatta, all the textbook and all those things, you can go and read, they cannot explain the deep meaning behind. The meaning is very deep. It's not what they say. Oh, impermanent. Everything is impermanent. Then they tell you everything come and go. So what? Apart from that, what other thing? Because truth is everywhere. The universal characteristic is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. Every moment, every instant. Within your own form and mind, you can see. Nothing stays static. Unless you can go into the silent mind. But even when you can do that, the whole of the environment is still in a continuous state of flux. And you are still able to be aware of all this vibration and movement, activity. That's why in the midst of stillness, there can be activity. And in the midst of activity, there can be stillness. In the midst of sound, vibration, there can be silence within. So all this, you will start to come to an understanding. Then you realize the teaching is so beautiful. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So today one is very good, very comprehensive. This is the new way of explaining the whole thing. Very complete. Your last time before you had the understanding, I can't just summarize like that for you, because otherwise you catch no ball. You ought to know what I'm trying to tell you. It's only after you have some form of understanding, then you can ask this type of question, then I can summarize for you. And this one is very, very beautiful. I think we take about an hour plus a bit, 1 hour, 10 minutes. And it's so comprehensive. Okay. Any more questions? Pass the mic to Tammy.
Brother Chiyo, when you explain about the it's like you say why if we know that this is bad for us, why we still want to do? But what I experience is, even though I know it's bad, but it's like it's the force is so strong that it pulls us to like habitual head tendency, okay, or whatever. It's like we don't have a choice until we do it.
So that is your understanding now, Do you have any question about that? What is it that you want to know?
I want to know. I heard some when they have this experience or understanding, they will go deep into their nature and they will straight away turn a new leaf. And then some they need to see many times, many times until their nature understands. So I wanted to know how.
So that is what they tell you. Not too bad. What they tell you is not too bad. But you have to be careful. One is knowledge.
the real realization is different. So what you are trying to explain just now is good. Your question is very good, like you mentioned. When I was trying to explain to you about the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, when I went through the first Noble Truth and the second Noble Truth, so I say, if you were to understood what the Buddha has shared with you, the first Noble Truth talks about the prevalence of suffering, the reality of life and existence. And this, when you confront them without the wisdom, the understanding, suffering will be the result. And if you understand that these are suffering, and you know the cause behind under the second Noble Truth, the cause is none other than craving, born of self-delusion. If you know these two, then you can improve your life, isn't it? If I know this is suffering, birth, old age, sickness, and death is suffering, I'm not going to lament, understand? When I confront them. Why? Because I know this is not me. If I'm sick, I need to endure, I endure. Like I say, you got two choices. React to the sickness and become miserable and attached, thinking that this is you. The second choice is with wisdom, accept. This body is not me. Made of element, go the way of nature. Understand? Subject to karma. So, everybody has a body. They also have to go through this reality. When the condition is not right, they will fall sick. So when you fall sick, like the Buddha say, when the body is sick, do not allow your mind also to be sick. Understand not? So this is very straightforward, isn't it? But what you are referring to just now is the craving. Understand not? You know lying is no good. You know cheating, deceiving is no good. But some people, they say, the craving is so strong. Understand not? Because of the benefit. All this come from what? Delusion. You say, I know it's wrong not to cheat, not to say all these things to my parents. But out of anger, the knowledge or the thought will tell you, I cannot control. What can I do? I'm still a human being. Like a lot of people say, what no? They say, I still got feeling or no? I am flesh and blood, no? Especially got one lady, the husband wanted to divorce her from quite a rich family, the in-law. And she was having the good life. But you know, all the rich man's son, she already very pretty, you know. That's why he married her. You know. Then later on, after Mary got two children, he got entangled, the husband got entangled, because got money, with another actress, also very pretty, then threatened to divorce her, and she became so miserable, afflicted, depression and all those things, hatred, anger, jealousy, everything. Then he came to me because my daughter somehow know the brother, then they were very close, then he bring them, so I talked to her. Explain to her. Said, but uncle, you call me uncle. I said, what can I do? Is it? I cannot forgive this fellow. He did this to me and everything. And the cocoon of thought keep on telling me what he want to do. You know? So what is happening is, I told her, you have to understand that you got two choices. If you continue to do what you are doing, is it a solution? Does it make you happy? Peaceful? Are you able to resolve what happened? If you can't, then don't do it anymore. Understand? And when I say accept him for what he is, what she got very mad. You mean just let him fool around and do what he like? This is the last thing a lady can accept. I said, no. Accept means what? He got his karma. Understand? He has to pay for his karmic debt. What I want you to understand is to resolve this amicably. I say, instead of arguing, getting angry, developing all the hatred until the in-law also panic. No? When they come, then invite me over to Singapore. Then I met up with them. No? The in-law also panic. The in-law tell me, he say, Mr. Tew, you have to help us. He say, do something other. But they wanted the grandchildren. Understand? The grandchildren is so beautiful, the two. But they don't want to be like if the wife becomes something wrong, the grandchildren got no mother. And they even prepare to go to court case and take what they call custodian over the children, if anything stupid were to happen to the in-law, the daughter-in-law. So all this, until she panicked. Then I told her, okay, why not you do this? Well, the husband actually is an artist. But we were born into a rich family. You just imagine in Singapore, can own a big bungalow with swimming pool with very big land in Singapore, not Malaysia. You just imagine how rich they are. That property is worth at least 40 million Sing. So because I visited that place before, and I told her, I said, why don't you write a nice letter and try to resolve it amicably with him? You tell your husband, because he's an art person who loves art, so he can be emotional. Yeah. I understand what happened, and it's very natural for a man who has that love. You know what he came back and tell the wife or not? I tell you, that was the greatest joke. She relayed this to us, to me. He said, my husband got the cheek to come on back and tell me, I really love you very much. But I also love her. No? Can you understand what I mean? Oh, it's part like that. If you can allow me to marry her, then I love both of you. I tell you, this type of man now come and talk like that. Then I say, you write back another letter to him. I understand what you mean. And please also understand me. If you want me to understand you, you also have to understand me. So I teach her, I say, you write there. I'm just tissue and cells. No? I got feeling. I got emotional. I can give my love to you all out and sacrifice for the family, everything. Because I'm not an enlightened being, understand? I'm just like any being. I got feeling. And when my marriage is being threatened, what you expect me to do? Then I teach her, how can you be so selfish until... because of what you want, I told her, don't use the word lust. Because of what you want, you are willing to put your whole family unit's harmony and love into jeopardy. By doing this, the in-law cite her, actually. The in-law chased the son out. You want to marry this actress? You go and stay outside. Oh, so fast. You give me 5-10 minutes, I finish here. So that part of the story, no need. Well, I say like that. He still cannot understand me, He said, got used, man. I say, you have to let him feel that you are a lady. Understand? You also got emotion, understand? And you can break down, understand? Because whoever is threatened with it, especially lady, how can you ask me to take all this? Understand? Then I say, after that you can write. Instead, can you understand me? If you don't get yourself entangled, you come back, I'll be the happiest wife in the world. And our family will be in harmony again. Your parents will be happy, my parents will be happy, my brother will not be affected. All these people who are concerned with us will not be affected. She finally didn't write. But she chose her own way. Finally, I think, also resolved, but through very, very strong terms. Understand? And at first, a lot of conflict. Because the in-law came to know he wanted to take the two children out. He wanted custodian, he want monthly allowance, and he want property and all those things. She want. But actually the family treat her very well. Even send her to Korea and all those things, do a lot of things now. That's why I tell you this world, a lot of things you don't know. Rich people also have this type of rich problem. Poor people also got poor problem. But what I want to drive at is not so much of all this. When you understand these are defilements, understand? These are your knowledge. What can I do? Understand? Because you claim to be like, this one is so strong, understand? That's how you will give in. That is because you haven't developed the wisdom. You haven't realized it. Like what they tell you. You go deep into your nature, then when you realize it, you come out, you completely change. Provided they realize it. Otherwise, it's just theory. Understand? After I tell you, you quote this, you can also explain to people. Understand? But they look at the way you live your life, they will know whether you have the Dhamma or not. But a lot of people say, I know, but yet I cannot do anything. Understand? At that moment, they will tell you, every man got his weakness. Understand? Or every woman got his weakness. Understand? I tell you, Dhamma is not like that. The moment you understand, you will never break. Understand? That's not worthwhile. Understand? But they don't understand the law of karma. They talk about advantage, whatever that give them advantage. Understand? That's why, like the husband tells the wife, say, I hope you understand what I mean. I love both of you. Oh, can like that one? How many wives are so generous as can allow all this thing? Yeah. That one cannot be recorded. Okay. Then what I want you to mean is the second one. Explain. The second one, they say, they tell you, you have to go through it many times. Yeah. Forget about it. That one doesn't understand. He said, every time you fail, then you have to confront it again. Again you fail, you confront it again. Then one day you succeed. Understand? Huh? He said you have to go in many times. Awakening is different. Realization. The moment you awaken, inside already clear. No more. But when you are doing the so-called thought-based meditation practice, you always do that. Yeah. Understand? Where you practice, understand? And what they practice vipassana. They go after the insight, understand? Then after they do, they think they have the insight, understand? Then they try to act like an enlightened being. They try to live life without craving. Good food also don't want to eat, understand? But they say, I shouldn't have craving. They become so confused, understand? Got conditioned to eat good food also, no, this is craving. Cannot eat. Oh. Then they prefer what? Simple food, plain food. I mean, we don't want to get ourselves into an argument over this. People are just the way they are. If they think this is the way to practice, go ahead. Understand? Avoiding the two extremes means what? Don't indulge. Understand? Don't have craving. Don't attach. Don't have strong view. But when there is condition for things to unfold, just like if there is condition for you to have the good food, don't indulge, don't overeat. Eat. Like just now we got good dinner, the chicken and all, you just eat, but don't overeat. Like Song No, cannot overeat, otherwise difficult, susah. Then Ching Gyap say, we can take longer time to eat. After 2 more hours, we can go on again. So all these are the way people look at it. But if you got condition to eat, like for me, after I eat that small portion, Pratim will say, Pratim, want or not? Got some more. I say, it's okay. Because I know my body. If I take some more, like Song will know, he's going to make me difficult. After that, I have to teach meditation, no. I have to meditate. No. So don't overeat, don't indulge. But wisdom is different. The moment you understand, all this become automatic. Understanding free your mind, not knowledge. Knowledge cannot free your mind. Always remember that. So what you try to ask just now is a typical cultivator with just knowledge who had not developed the realization, the wisdom. So it's okay. Where you see the craving is still so strong. Because you haven't realized the true awakening, the insight. The moment you realize, it's just like this example. If this is red hot burning, you cannot touch, is it? The moment you touch, what happened? It torments you, it burns you, isn't it? Means your mindfulness is very sensitive. This one, when we say physical thing hot, the reason why we can be sensitive is because our tactile, it will burn us, understand? And your tactile consciousness feel it. But when it burns you mentally, you doesn't realize. Just none of your external feature is been burned, understand? But your mind has developed suffering, mental suffering. This is burning at the mind level. But they still don't know. No? They still blame people. That guy lah make me like that. My husband lah. My spouse lah. Or my so-called Macau friend lah. And all those things. So if you cannot be sensitive until like this one, at the mind level, understand? That's why mindfulness is very important. Wisdom and mindfulness. This one is so sensitive. It's so sensitive until the whatever you do, the consequence, the karmic effect, everything you see, you understand. That's why you cannot do. And you know it's not worthwhile to do. And you cannot do. It's just like the breaking of precept. In Hokkien, bo kao lu bo xiong xin, no. The thing keep on showing to you one. Then you realize, not worthwhile to break one. Then how can you break? Cannot break anymore. But it's never worth the while to do any of this. So the awakening and the understanding is the same. When I understand, I can never touch. I can never go back to the old way. When I see the delusion causing so much suffering, I wake up. Wake up means what? Like Alicia will know. The defilement before they can even come out again. Enough. 16 years you have been trying to deceive me and doing all this to me. Enough. No more. They're straight away gone. Subside. No need to go and like vipassana, chanting, sitting as they are sitting and trying to fight the defilement. No need. The wisdom, free. When you understand, it's no more. Then you saw it doing all this to you. You understand? If it's still a practice, patient, yan, don't want to get angry. So what? Or they say, don't want to have craving. Craving is an evil root. Anger is an evil root. So I don't want to get angry. Then I become what? I endure. But without wisdom, is you suppress. Understand? That is suppression. Yeah, you suppress your emotion, your anger. Yeah, the fellow like that one, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to hit him. The way you talk, people know the anger is still there, the hatred is still there. And this is all suppression, where you use Dhamma knowledge. Understand? But the moment you have the understanding, the awakening, then you just smile. You pity that person. He is just the way he is. That's why he deluded. People do deluded things. Things is just the way it is. Then you can accept them, no matter what they have done. When I asked the Singapore lady to accept the husband for what he is, immediately he reacted like anything. You mean let him do what he wants, fool around and all those things, and dare to come back and tell me all this type of thing. Andrin, how you think? If you got a boyfriend or husband, come back and tell you like that. Means he's selfish, isn't it? He only think of himself, isn't it? He has never think of your feeling, isn't it? Your children's feeling, the family member's feeling, understand or not? It has an impact. This is what karma is. And in future, he become the victim. The husband in future will become like the wife, kena back from people. Maybe the wife take over the husband's role and give her kau kau. Understand or not? Okay, we better end. Oh, you're sorry. Taken up 10 minutes. Okay, we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, we have to invoke some transformed merit to Sito's mother. She passed away. I was told for the information of the rest. The mother was already in coma for 8 over years. Then she is already age 84, old age. So no problem. They actually just came back from Copenhagen, European tour. I think landed this afternoon. Anyway, she and Michael, they had a lot of joy. So we should actually play our part. And if you all are going for the wake tomorrow, Kayanamita, we tend to, we already plan to visit her and 8:30, supposed to be 8:30, plus minus around that time. No need to rush. So we will go and just like whatever Kailamita who has the condition, we will do our part. So like tonight, we will share merits and transfer merits to the mother too. By let us compose our mind, develop the understanding, then recall to mind all the wholesomeness we have cultivated over the past 2 hours plus. Then invoke power of merits. By the power of merits of all this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for Sito's mother to have a good rebirth and to have the blessing of the triple gem and to have the good life in the hereafter. Then may all beings throughout the entire existence who can receive this wholesomeness, may they also get to share this merits and wholesomeness, and may they be well and happy, peaceful and loving always. And may the blessing of the triple gem to be with them. Okay. Now we will dedicate the rest of the merits for sharing to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyantang anamoditwa chirang rakkantu lokasasana etta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo Ipena punyang kamena Mabibala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kanyi Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones.
Profound Dharma for us by saying Sadhu three times. Today a lot of offering.